Radio Daily for halfway day, or for some, like my daughter, it's the first day of school. Ooh. Yeah, I'm old and I have a kid in the second grade. Yeah! That sounds like a wacky sitcom waiting to happen. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 8th of September. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks that are bringing it to you today, the guy that always goes up to the office meetings and asks for the only refreshment you possibly could, that there's podcaster Jude Siegfried.
I'd like to purchase some of your finest beer, please.
And that's going to make the whole thing happen. And me, I'm the guy who's barely keeping it together, but you know, it's going to be okay. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
There are aspects of my personality that I can't control.
Right, ladies? And Gareth David Lloyd, what happened this fine day, sir?
In 1855, Dr. J.M. Talpinot announces his development of a dry collodion photographic plate.
1871, Dr. Richard Leach Maddox announces his invention of a silver bromide gelatin photographic emulsion, which significantly reduces photograph exposure times, so you don't have to sit there for 6 hours to get a picture.
1906, Robert Turner invents the automatic typewriter return carriage.
1933, 3M of St. Paul, Minnesota begins marketing Scotch brand cellulose tape, the first waterproof, transparent, pressure-sensitive tape.
1945, the first bus in the U.S. with a two-way radio is put into service in Washington, D.C.
1960, in Huntsville, Alabama, U.S. President Dwight D. Eisenhower formally dedicates the Marshall Space Flight Center, which NASA had activated on July 1st.
1966, the science fiction television series Star Trek premieres on the NBC network with the episode The Man Trap.
1976, Howard the Duck arrives on Earth because he existed before the movie, folks.
1987, Microsoft releases Microsoft Bookshelf, a collection of 10 popular referenced publications. It is the first application Microsoft releases on a CD-ROM.
Those last forever. 1995, Dade Murphy goes to Cyberdelia for the first time, meets with Freak and Joey, also beats Kate Libby's high score in the arcade video game Wipeout. Oh, those crazy hackers.
Hack the planet. 1998, Franklin introduces the Rex Pro, also known as the Rex 5 or Rex 5000 handheld computer, featuring 512K of RAM, an LCD screen, 6 navigation buttons, a docking station, and the ability to plug into a PC card slot to transfer data.
1999, the fantasy novel Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban is released as a hardcover by Bloomsbury Publishing in the UK.
2003, Miramax Films releases a sci-fi horror film, Mimic 3, Sentinel, directed by T.J. Petty and starring Carl Geary, Alexis DeZiana, Rebecca Mader, and Lance Hendrickson to U.S. theaters.
Same day, same year, the RIAA sues 261 individuals for allegedly distributing over 1,000 copyrighted music files over peer-to-peer networks collectively, and among those defendants is Brianna Lahara, a 12-year-old U.S. schoolgirl.
2004, the NASA unmanned spacecraft Genesis crash lands on the surface of the moon when its drogue parachute fails to open.
You could say it had an invisible touch.
2010, Google launches instant search. Rather than waiting for users to complete their queries, displays suggested results as the user types, which was cool until you started to realize the kind of things you looked for. Birthdays?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, 40, from Home Improvement, The Lion King, Adventures of Pinocchio, and Through the Mobius Strip.
Martin Freeman is 50 from The Office, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Hot Fuzz, Sherlock, The Hobbit, Fargo, Season 1, Civil War, Black Panther.
That's kind of weird thinking that Martin Freeman is only 10 years older than Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Right?
David Arquette is 50 from the movie version of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Scream, 3,000 Miles to Graceland, Hamlet 2, Jake and the Neverland Pirates, and of course, former WCW heavyweight champion.
And it's not odd that he's only 10 years older than Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Michael Shermer is 66, American historian, author, and academic, founded the Skeptic Society. At least that's what he wants you to believe.
Born this day no longer with us in 1588, Marin Marcine, best known for prime numbers.
1922, Sid Caesar. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Silent movie, the fiendish plot of Dr. Fu Manchu, History of the World Part 1, comic book, the movie, the Dick Van Dyke Show, basically the foundation of American comedy.
It's true. Speaking of which, 1925, Peter Sellers from Lolita, The Pink Panther, the original Casino Royale, being there and was amazing in Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
1937, Archie Goodwin, writer and editor for Creepy and Eerie, was editor-in-chief of Marvel and worked on the Star Wars comics for Marvel that featured Jabba the Hutt for the first time, and wow, That was a little different.
On television on CBS, we've got a new Big Brother. Are You a Narcissist? On a new House Calls with Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil probably is. And the FBI declassified.
Am I a narcissist?
ABC's got a new Press Your Luck. Women of 9/11, a special edition of 2020 with Robin Roberts.
NBC semifinals results, too, on a new America's Got Talent. The Collins family versus the Bailey family on a new family game fight. A lot of weird words.
Whatever. Fox, semifinal, Three Chef Showdown. Semifinal, part two, Three Chef Showdown. New Master Chef, Three Chef Showdown.
CW, Josie McCoy returns to Riverdale after going missing during the middle of her world tour. And she reveals the reason she's back when she reunites with two former bandmates. Veronica gets creative following a surprise visit from an old friend on a new Riverdale and a new In the Dark.
Freeform, Callie questions her choices. Mariana interviews for a new job. Malika considers an offer away from DPN. Gale's forced to put his priorities in perspective, and Alice must make a tough decision on a new Good Trouble.
AMC has Gran Torino.
FX, the dark history of Provincetown and its residents are brought to light on a new American Horror Story.
FXX, a suave, highly trained master spy, spends his days saving the world from global crises, all while dealing with an overbearing mother who is his boss, an ex-girlfriend who is a fellow agent, and co-workers who are out to get each other on a new Archer, which I think that's the episode, or the basically every episode.
Every single one. FXM has Mamma Mia. Here we go again.
Paramount has SWAT.
TBS has a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, which is fantastic. But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A grieving widow takes her children to a community for mothers in search of a fresh start. But when she discovers the owner of a commune is involved in a human trafficking operation, she must find a way to keep herself, oh, and her family, safe as well. Justine Erie and Olivia Stuck star in Desperate Widows.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad and Inspector Brady Black investigate a bungled robbery that left a man dead. Their investigation leads them to a world of diamond smuggling, and they soon find themselves at the mercy of those responsible. Will Chad and Brady have the fortitude to get out of the situation, or is tonight to be their killing eve? Well, not if they can catch the guilty before their time runs out. Hashtag Chappy forever.
The mail's in.
Indeed it is.
G'day, GRD crew. It's Ron Swan from Australia. Well, wouldn't you know it, last night I happened to be randomly scrolling through the selections of a streaming service available here in Australia, and my eye is caught on a show called And then the next day, while I make breakfast, I'm listening to the new episode of GID, and gosh darn it, Doug, Chad, and Abby sound like they're somewhere I recognize. So, you know what, let's keep this streak going. I got a good feeling about September. Love the show. See you.
There you go. So if you're...
Oh, I didn't realize you said the name of the show. I thought it was just really offensive.
Well, the name of the show is kind of offensive. But no, he's got two in a row now. So woo. So you watch a bunch of shows on streaming or at least scroll through, and you might find where they'll be now or where they will be later, because who knows where that will be. I said the word where a lot. If you know where they might be, why don't you send a message to podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or of course a voicemail or text message will always work. Use the magic number.
510. GRD crew.
Oh, wait, is it flipped this warehouse? Oh, it didn't get beeped, so I guess not.
Travis I. Sivart's exciting novel, Silver and Smith and the Doppelganger's Gate, is now available. An artifact that may reveal a secret buried by history. Two powerful corporations want it, each for very different reasons. One to manipulate genetics, the other to uncover lost technology. Silver and Smith are hired to find the relic that could reveal a conspiracy that spans from Atlantis to other worlds. Pulp-style, fast-paced adventure with memorable characters that you'll love. Find this book and others on Amazon or at bit.ly/TravisBooks. That's bit.ly/TravisBooks.
Hey, this is Brian O'Halloran, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Why? Because I don't know. I'm not even supposed to be here today. Are we done with this drop?
We sure are. Thanks, dude. That was so cool. So freaking cool.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Indeed it is. But what's available at the comic shops waiting for us there, sir?
From DC, we've got Batman, The Adventure Continues, Season 2, Number 4 of 7. Black Manta, 1 of 6. Green Lantern, 2021 Annual Number 1. And The Event Over a Year in the Making Begins. Fear State settles upon Gotham City, and no one is safe. Overwhelmed by the dual threat of the Scarecrow and Peacekeeper 01, Batman and his allies have been one step behind since the events of Infinite Frontier Zero, and with the arrival of a mysterious anti-Oracle and the return of Poison Ivy, Batman may have more than he can handle in Batman Fear State Alpha number 1.
Over at Marvel Avengers, Tech On 2 of 6, Defenders 2 of 5, Extreme Carnage Toxin number 1, and the alien Kotati murdered him. The Savage Land brought him back. Lord Plunder has returned with a vastly new perspective. Now united with Shanna the She-Devil. In a mystical merging of life energies, Kazar has new abilities, new needs, and new enemies. An ancient evil has surfaced in the Savage Land, one that is rapidly reshaping the Forgotten World and its inhabitants. Kazar, if you will, and Shanna must fight together to protect their home and family, but soon, their son Matthew? How does he have a normal name? Has plans of his own, and Kazar, Lord Savage Land 1 of 5.
From Boom Studios, we've got Eve wrapping up its 5, Mammo 3 of 5, Mighty Morphin number 11, From Dark Horse, we've got Last Flight Out, 1 of 6. Masters of the Universe, Revelation, 3 of 4. Unbelievable Unteens from the World of Black Hammer, number 2. And a lonely building inspector, still grieving the loss of his puzzles-loving daughter, receives a mysterious phone call one night from a girl claiming it's her, and that she's trapped in the middle of a labyrinth. Convinced that this child is contacting him from beyond the grave, or from beyond this world, he uses an unfinished maze from one of her journals and a map of the city to trace an intricate path through a different plane of reality on an intense and melancholy adventure to bring his daughter back home in Maze Book 1 of 5.
From Image Comics, Helm Greycastle 4 of 4, Moonshine 27, 6 Sidekicks of Trigger Keaton number 4, over at IDW Publishing, Canto 3, Lionhearted 3 of 6, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin 4 of 5, and Get Caught Up with the Mirror, Enterprise D, before its crew, helmed by John Luck Pickard, faces new threats and challenges in the upcoming Mirror War event. Following the failure of the attempt to steal ships from the Prime Universe, Pickard and the Mirror crew are called back to Earth to report to the Emperor personally, so long as they can survive the trip in Star Trek Mirror War number 0.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, a TikTok video by an aspiring social media star who said he quit his $100,000 a year job in an attempt to land employment with the online personality and boxer Logan Paul has gone viral.
It went viral because it worked, right?
Something like that. Along with his brother Jake, 26-year-old Logan Paul has built an empire off the back of his YouTube channel, where he has over 23 million subscribers, been posting vlogs, story times, pranks, and other comedic content since September of 2016.
And is a trash human.
You're not wrong. The TikTok, which has amassed 12.5 million views since it was uploaded on Sunday, was posted by Austin Wallace, a 22-year-old welder from Ohio. He said 2 days after quitting his job, he drove 12 hours to talk business with Paul.
Well, former welder.
The video shows Wallace approaching Paul at a press conference for Jake's fight against Tyron Woodley and telling Paul that he took a risk in order to ask him for a job. When asked by Paul what he was good at, Wallace said he could do TikTok dances. In response to Paul's question of whether he's got what it takes, Wallace said, "I don't."
"Then why would I give you a job?" Paul asked. "Why would I do that?"
Wait. Then what was the point then?
The TikTok shows clips of these interactions interspersed with Wallace, who appears to be crying, explaining the context. Fortunately, he was able to beg for his job back, and upon returning, he told his viewers he had been successful. The whole situation was a bold strategy, which obviously did not pay off for him. People, don't be dumb. Figure out your own thing, and don't depend on others to just give you stuff. By the way, did you see what we posted lately at patreon.com/geekradiodaily?
The movie industry's piracy, it's a crime video is, without a doubt, the most iconic anti-piracy PSA ever made. The video became the inspiration for countless memes and satire. The once official piracyisacrime.com campaign site shut down years ago, but this week, the domain started linking to the IT Crowd parody.
You wouldn't steal a handbag!
Over the past decades, the entertainment industries have tried out numerous anti-piracy PSAs. One of the most iconic videos is without a doubt the You Wouldn't Steal a Car campaign, which has proven to be fertile breeding ground for memes and satire. A new cinema trailer launched on 12th July, supporting the campaign message, Piracy is a Crime. one of the press releases read at the time.
You wouldn't steal a car!
The video was backed by the piracyisacrime.com website. This was also the place where the public was asked to report piracy.
You wouldn't shoot a policeman!
The official campaign website was retired more than a decade ago. Initially, the domain name was forwarded to copyrightaware.co.uk, another anti-piracy initiative, but at some point, it was no longer renewed.
And then steal his helmet!
Then all of a sudden, someone decided to put it up for sale. Earlier this week, huge domains listed the piracyisacrime.com domain for $2,695.
You wouldn't go to the toilet in his helmet!
While we don't know who paid nearly $3,000 for the domain, the buyer doesn't appear to come from the anti-piracy camp.
And then send it to the policeman's grieving widow?
Piracyisacrime.com now redirects to the legendary parody of the PSA from the IT Crowd TV series. This means that after nearly two decades of memes and parodies, we have come full circle. But remember, even if you then steal the policeman's helmet again, you will face the consequences.
Last week, streamers across Twitch initiated a day off as a way to demand better action for the company on hate raids. Now the data is in, and according to analytics, Twitch did see a drop in traffic compared to the days leading up to the boycott. According to GameSite, both the number of channels that were streaming and viewers during noon Pacific was lower than the 8 days preceding the September 1st hashtag a day off Twitch boycott.
But was it noticeable?
People missed our Jackbox things with Mark. In terms of numbers, around 14,000 fewer Twitch channels were streaming between August 31st and September 1st, and about 1 million fewer hours of content were viewed compared to the previous week.
Wow, it's a lot.
Analyst Zach Busey added additional context to these figures, but found that ultimately, hashtag a day off Twitch did impact overall viewership on the platform. Busey factored in non-boycott-related causes to potential viewership decrease, including the loss of Dr. Lupo and Tim the Tatman, who both recently announced an exclusive switch to YouTube.
Which means more viewers for me.
Even with additional contexts, Busey found that September 1st, Twitch saw anywhere as low as 5% to a 15% drop in viewership, regardless of Twitch's extraneous factors. Streamers are making it clear that a lack of tools to combat hate raids is detrimental to their futures on the platform, particularly marginalized streamers. So far, Twitch has made public announcements about incoming tools like channel-level ban, evasion detection, and other account improvements. But critics say these changes are not happening soon enough. That's a shame that there are people with so little time in their lives but to just be jerks. Take a nap. Go to a petting zoo in booty shorts. Have some toast. Life is too short to be toxic.
It's true. You're just an asshole.
Prior to becoming the MCU's first Asian-American Pacific Islander superhero in the new film Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, the 32-year-old Simu Liu was a model for stock images, and fans are having lots of fun unearthing the old pics on social media.
I bet he's just as charming in still form as he is in motion.
Liu has previously addressed his stock photo past on his own Twitter page, writing in February of 2020, "Legitimately wondering if I am the greatest stock photo model of all time. Totally unrelated note, please stop buying these photos."
I will not. Nor will I stop photoshopping myself into them so we look like the best buds that we were meant to be.
Several years prior, the former accountant turned actor commented on a photo of himself that aptly appeared on the front of an accounting textbook. "Call at Alanis Morissette because I just died from irony. I did a stock photo shoot in 2014 and it ended up here. I used to be an accountant," the Kim's Convenience Store tweeted in 2017.
Did he also work at a car rental place while fighting evil?
Liu addressed his stock photos again on Monday, getting in on the social media fun. Sharing a photo of himself pointing at a laptop screen, he wrote, "Me laughing at the people who thought we'd flop."
That's some damn fine trolling.
Shang-Chi broke Labor Day weekend box office records, bringing in $71.4 million from Friday through Sunday alone, NPR reported. The blockbuster is making history as the first installment in the MCU with an Asian lead and a predominantly Asian cast. It's a welcome form of representation amid rising hate crimes against the AAPI community during the pandemic.
Some people don't understand why that's important.
"I know how much it would have meant to kids and to myself as a kid seeing this when I was younger. I totally understand the importance of it," Liu said. "I know that it's not going to be easy, but at the same time, I feel so incredibly excited to be part of this movement that gets to push society forward. It gets to deepen the conversation. It gets to normalize seeing Asian faces on screen and hearing Asian voices and our stories. Now, some people will say we're far from the days of Mickey Rooney and Sean Connery passing as Asian. Remember that we're less than 10 years past Emma Stone and Scarlett Johansson doing the same. I mean, they're no Robert Downey Jr., am I right?
By the way, have you heard the Santa Mistress talking about Shang-Chi and how awesome and incredible it is? And did you know that she also talks about books now?
What? Bonus episodes. Look it up.
But we have to end on a sad note. Michael K. Williams, who memorably portrayed Omar Little in The Wire and Chalky White in Boardwalk Empire, has died at the age of 54. New York police confirmed that the actor was found dead on Monday at 2 p.m. inside of his Brooklyn residence. Williams was a regular on many acclaimed HBO series, The Wire, Boardwalk Empire, The Night Of, Lovecraft Country, played Leonard on Sundance TV crime series Happen Leonard, and had a recurring role on J.J. Abrams' Alias. He also acted in the acclaimed films Inherent Vice, 12 Years a Slave, Gone Baby Gone, and The Road.
He's always been so damn good.
The actor's work often attracted awards, attention, including 3 Emmy nods for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Limited Series or Movie. He's currently in Emmy contention for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series for his work on Lovecraft Country.
So damn good.
He was also known for his comedic roles, including biology professor Marshall Kane on Community.
So damn good.
The intensity of his roles often exasperated his struggles with drugs. He explained in several interviews and said he was using cocaine both during the shooting of The Wire and The Night Of. The characters that meant the most to me are the ones that damn near kill me. It's a sacrifice I've chosen to make, he said. Williams was born in Brooklyn, his mother from the Bahamas, his father from South Carolina. Raised in the Vanderveer housing projects in East Flatbush, he had already developed a drug problem as a teenager. After getting knifed when he tried to intervene in a fight outside of a bar on his 25th birthday, he ended up with a large scar across his face. He began getting jobs dancing in music videos for acts including George Michael and Madonna before getting cast in his first role as Tupac Shakur's brother in the 1996 film Bullet. He created many iconic roles and elevated not only the projects that he was in, but the performances of those around him. He was one of a kind, and you, sir, shall be missed. GRD is licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Wow. Kind of hard to tell stupid jokes right for something like that, huh? Bah! Okay, whatever. Anyway, if you've got a stupid joke that should have fit here, by all means, let us know. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, a voicemail or text message. Use the magic numbers.
510-GRD.
And no, we don't tell bad jokes after we talk about somebody awesome dying. You got a code.
Yeah, we'll just start the show off tomorrow. You know how it goes.
No, it must not end like this.
It seems I found myself on the voyage of the damned.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
The world is not in your books and maps. It's out there.
Hold up. I grade my students. Now, what Starface was doing is irrelevant. What matters is what he saw. I'm upholding the pinky swear.
What? Yo, man, you spent your life in the army. I spent mine in prison. Two places where a man's word is only as good as his uniform. Now, out here, it's supposed to be different. And in my class, it will be. You two can plead your case to the class and let them decide your grades.
Professor. Thank you.
It's not a favor, Mr. Winger. A man's gotta have a code.
Awesome.